of uncertainty, it is important, more important than ever, to raise our eyes to heaven, to keep our thoughts on the beatific vision. And so you might ask, just what is the beatific vision? You might be saying, I've heard that phrase before, but I'm not sure what it means. The beatific vision means the eternal and direct visual perception of God. It means seeing God face to face. In the divine scheme of things, Christians have always believed that this direct vision of God is the goal that awaits us all. St. Paul said, at present we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. St. Thomas Aquinas reasoned that one is perfectly happy only when all of one's desires are perfectly satisfied, and this cannot occur until we are fully united with God. That complete union can happen not through human imagining, nor even in the most deep contemplative prayer, but only by the direct presence of God in heaven. It is a human instinct, and a good one, to try to imagine what heaven will be like. When you were a child, for example, you may have thought that heaven would be like playing baseball or some other sport with your friends all day long, with occasional breaks for a soft drink and ice cream, and then to relax and perhaps read some comic books to your heart's delight. That's what we did back in the day. But deep down, you probably knew even then that heaven would be much, much better than that. The scriptures tell us that all of our efforts at imagining the beatific vision must fall short. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, that eye has not seen and ears not heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It is through Christ's ascension and return to the Father that we learn to follow Christ to our ultimate end, to the beatific vision. He shows us that our true home is not to be found in this world. We are made for eternal life. It is to this message of hope that we must cling and boldly proclaim as we continue through this time of uncertainty in our lives. So what is the meaning of the ascension of Jesus? What does it mean for him? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for the angels? This feast day is a critical one in the liturgical calendar and in the mysteries of the life of Christ. I think it's fair to say, though, that just as the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as the forgotten person of the Holy Trinity, the mystery of the ascension can be likened to the forgotten element in the Paschal mystery. Sometimes we think of Jesus' Paschal mystery as just his passion, death, and resurrection. But when the Catechism describes the Paschal mystery, it includes Christ's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension 40 days later. St. Mark tells us in his gospel, so then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. And in the second reading, St. Paul connects the ascension of Jesus into heaven to our own hope. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to your call, the hope that comes from Christ being raised from the dead and being seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. As Christians, we will one day share in the resurrection of Christ, a central crowning truth of our faith. But we must know that it's not just the resurrection, but also the ascension. In other words, Christ paves the way for us in every aspect of our lives, not just his passion and death, which we will have to undergo, and not even just his resurrection, which hopefully we'll all share in, but also his ascension to the right hand of the Father in glory. So how is the ascension described here in Ephesians, our second reading? It says that Christ was raised from the dead and made to sit by the Father at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. It's about the humanity of Christ being caught up into the life of the most holy Trinity. Jesus takes his crucified and resurrected body and brings it into the very bosom of the most holy Trinity. into the fullness of that life. It says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now these words, principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, refer to the angels. So in other words, the point here is that when Jesus ascends into heaven, when he brings his humanity, his body into heaven, to the right hand of the Father in the ascension, part of the mystery of the ascension is that the human nature of Christ, which by nature would be beneath angels in the created order of the visible universe, has now been exalted above the angels through the ascension. Imagine the disciples in today's first reading. They had spent 3 years with Jesus in close personal contact. They loved him deeply. They trusted him. They depended completely upon him. He certainly was someone the likes of whom they had never encountered before. In the days and weeks following his resurrection, Christ sought to prepare the apostles for his return to the Father, but they could not bear the news. They were filled with grief, so Christ gently, over time, revealed his plan to them that would result in the coming of the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate and comforter. I'm sure they wrestled valiantly with the idea of this comforter or this advocate, but they didn't grasp it all, as evidenced by their question, "Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" But it's not a matter of restoring the kingdom of Israel. It's much more than that. Christ's ascension should fill us with joy. It should fill us with hope, as it did his disciples, because now we know for certain that Christ is firmly seated at the right hand of the Father, and that where he has gone, the faithful will follow. Because Christ has ascended into heaven beyond the limits of time and space, beyond the reach of death and evil, we are able to exercise the important virtue of hope. This great event of the ascension is, above all the celebrations of the liturgical year, the great feast of hope. In today's preface to the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer that every priest in every corner of the world will say before the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 there's a sentence that beautifully expresses this. It says that Christ was taken up to heaven in their sight, that he might make us sharers in his divinity. Christians can hope more than anyone else because only Christ has ascended into heaven in his human nature. Jesus is now ruling the universe in his human nature. His ascension is a bridge between heaven and earth. We are not abandoned. If we are faithful, we are guaranteed a room in the Father's house because Jesus has gone to get one ready for us, for each one of us. Those who die in Christ's friendship will not melt back into some impersonal, transcendental void. We will not be annihilated. We will not lose our humanity. We will experience it to the full and then some. Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene wrote, "The ascension is, then, a feast of hope, a sweet foretaste of heaven. By going before us, Jesus, our head, has given us the right to follow him there someday. And we can even say with St. Leo, in the person of Christ, we have penetrated the heights of heaven," unquote. As in Christ crucified, we die to sin. As in the risen Christ, we rise to the life of grace. So too, we are raised up to heaven in the ascension of Christ. To believe in this, to take joy in this, is to let this nourish our minds and strengthen us in the face of trials and temptations. This, for us, is the virtue of hope. We're able to live in peace and hope in the present uncertainty of this world because we know we can possess this firm hope. Even if death comes for us, we rest in the hope of finally attaining eternal life, which is the very meaning of our lives. This is our anchor in life, that the Lord we believe in, serve, and strive to follow is ruling all of history and and his kingdom, and he will never be conquered. Today, on this Ascension Day, may we remember this and savor it. Despite of all the hardships, trials, and afflictions and disappointments of our lives, we know that our hope is not to be ultimately found in this world. We must raise our eyes toward heaven and keep our gaze fixed on Christ, who has ascended to the Father to prepare a place for all who are faithful to Christ.